Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 31-17 win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The 49ers are 1-0 to start out the season. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Here was 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan after the 49ers beat Tampa Bay on Sunday.
You know, we didn't play our best ball today, but the guys played very hard. When you got 21 points called back from penalties, we gave them a number of free first downs off penalties, just a lot of self-inflicted wounds that we weren't proud of. But the guys just to still battle and to fight and come up with that win just shows how hard the guys fought, especially in this heat and stuff, which I know guys were struggling. So, and also losing one of our linebackers early in the first quarter was tough to overcome, but the guys kept fighting through and pulled out a win, and I'm very happy about that.
Well, Steve, the 49ers with a win on the road, something they did not do last year, and they went in the Eastern time zone, something they haven't done in a while either, is they beat the Buccaneers, and man, this was an ugly-looking game, especially in the first half. All those penalties. Steve, it seemed to me like there was a penalty flag on almost every play. I mean, it was just one of those NFL games. It was kind of hard to watch, but it's great to get a win for the 49ers.
First and foremost, road win. Awesome. Absolutely awesome, and to have two pick sixes when they only had seven interceptions last year.
No, they only had a couple of interceptions the whole year.
Oh, was it only a couple?
It was
okay,
two, yeah.
So even better, and they could have. They had two pick sixes. They could have had four interceptions easily. The one there where Tampa is late in the game, Tampa's going in to score, and number 33, I'm drawing a blank on his name all of a sudden. But if he picks that off, he may score from 100 yards.
Yeah, they definitely had a couple of dropped interceptions. You're right.
Yeah.
But the ones they did have, I mean, there were both passes to running backs. Winston just didn't see what happened with his running back running the route. I mean, the Richard Sherman was that one. That was a gift. And
yeah,
same thing with Witherspoon. Witherspoon's one.
Yeah, he looked like the Witherspoon one looked like he was just trying to lay it out there for a back on a screen. You know, or looking for somebody late. I mean, that was ill-advised. The Sherman one looked like the receiver slipped. You know, like he was running kind of a, you know, where he's running an out, but he's turning in, kind of a pivot out, and didn't come out of the break.
Well, it was a similar type of situation with Jimmy Garoppolo because he threw a pick six as well, and he was throwing to a running back in Tevin Coleman. And to me, it looked like he was trying to go out on some kind of a comeback route. And it just didn't work out because Jimmy throws it and Coleman's nowhere to be found.
Well, he's there. It just the defensive back just I mean he just sat on it. He knew he had a running back out there. I would you know that wasn't I would say that that Shanahan or quarterback coach is telling Jimmy no, that's not the matchup we were looking for out there. We got a corner on a running back. And he just sat on it, knowing that he wasn't going to get a deep route out of that running back.
Yeah, that was a great play.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas had that been a linebacker out there on them, then yeah, that might have been where you were going. You know, looking for that mismatch, but a running back on a starting corner, no, that's not the matchup you're looking for.
So on the one hand, it's a good play by Vernon Hargraves. You know, he's the one who had the pick six for Tampa. But on the other hand, as a quarterback, so you just have to know that going in. I mean, as soon as you look over there and you see cornerback, you're not throwing that ball there. Is that what it is?
You know, exactly. You're seeing the zone coverage. Nobody really moves. They don't take a linebacker out of the front seven and put him out there. Then you know it's man to man if a linebacker goes out there or a strong safety goes out there. The corner stays there. You know it's zone. I would say that was, not the best decision by Jimmy.
And we'll talk more about what Garoppolo did, but let's listen to what Kyle Shanahan had to say. He was asked about Garoppolo's play in his first game back in the regular season here after the injury.
I think the whole offense was shaky. You know, I think he made a couple good throws, but, you know, Jimmy and everyone else, including myself, needs to get a lot more consistent. You know, there's some things out there that we missed, which I think made it a much tighter game than it needed to be. Fortunately, our defense got us some turnovers. They got four of them, which it's hard to win when you have two turnovers in offense, but when you get four on the other side, especially when they scored on two of them, that makes it a little easier to overcome some sloppy play that we had on O.
Yeah, I would agree about the sloppy play because, I mean, it's a lot of things. Let's start with the penalties. I mean, that's got to be frustrating for a team when you have all those penalties. Both teams had issues with it because there were five touchdowns called back in the game, 19 total penalties. But just from the 49ers' perspective, you know, just a lot of plays coming back. I mean, it seemed like, you know, undisciplined.
There were, and big plays, you know, from the get-go. The Kittle touchdown, probably Jimmy's best play of the day. Jimmy G's best play of the day is that scramble in the fourth quarter.
And that came back.
And that came back. I mean, that's a scramble. You know, it's third and 10, third and 12, and he scrambles for a first down. You know, really good job of stepping up and getting through the running lanes, and it comes back. I mean, so that could have really backfired on them, but at the end of the day, especially in the second half, defense didn't really play that well, but they made big plays when they needed them.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they had their issues with some penalties too. I mean, lining up in the neutral zone a couple of times, and you know, a lot of these penalties were just silly, you know.
Yeah, they just didn't. I mean, Tampa ran the ball, I thought, in the second half pretty well.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
but when it was, you know, when it came down to somebody making a play, they did. There's the Armstead sack.
D-Ford caused a fumble.
There's a fumble. Yep. There's a fumble late in the game on Tampa's going in to score, and they fumble. Now, and San Francisco, the 49ers get at least one first down, maybe two first downs, because they get the ball first and 10 at like the 4-yard line. And that's a precarious position. You got to get a couple first downs and get that ball out to, you know, change the field position, and they do. So again, defense needed to make a play, and they did. And offense needed to make a couple plays, and they did to get a couple first downs and get that ball out of their own territory.
We'll continue with more 49ers Extra with Steve Bono right after this. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Well, some of the newcomers played well. I mean, D Ford, he had a sack. He did force a fumble. Nick Bosa, I mean, he had a sack, and he was definitely active. He had three quarterback hits. You know, I saw a story where his numbers were among the best as far as defensive linemen week one in the NFL. So that helps. But, you know, Quan Alexander would have been somebody that could have made an impact, but he got ejected in the first quarter. Yeah. So those are three of the newcomers for the Niners.
I mean, he was made an example of, I think, in that one. I mean, I didn't think that was that bad. Part of that, Jameis Winston, he's got to go ahead first. In that situation, when it's so close, you got to go ahead first. You got to go ahead first all the time, but you can't slide in that situation. The guy's already starting in on you to hit you. I know they're going to call that one, but I didn't think that was that bad. Especially for an ejection. I thought that was a little harsh.
It's just really hard for the defensive guys to control what they're doing with their head at the last minute when you're trying to make a tackle like that.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the defensive line especially in the first half was super aggressive, which I thought was good. I thought they got a little worn out in the second half when Tampa started running the ball, and I was a little surprised, actually maybe not a little, maybe a lot surprised, that Solomon was not playing more. He didn't really play much at all.
No, he didn't.
But especially in the second half against the run, to spell some of those guys, I was kind of surprised.
You know, another guy who didn't play that much, which I don't know if it surprised you, but Dante Pettis. He was only in there for a couple of snaps.
Yeah.
And I think Kyle Shanahan's just trying to figure out what he wants to do with his receivers. What do you think?
I agree. It seemed like they were rotating guys in quite a bit, but then I think Dante Pettis was only targeted once. He made the catch. There was another time, I don't know how much Kendrick Bourne played. He was targeted late. Not a great throw by Jimmy G. Had it been a good throw, Kendrick might still be running.
Same thing with Goodwin. There was another one to Goodwin where I think if he made a great pass, it would have been a touchdown.
Yeah. I think going back to your soundbite, they weren't super consistent. I thought they didn't really run the ball very well, but then again, Tampa, Todd Bowles, they just stacked the box. I mean, basically what teams did last year. We're going to stack the box. We're going to make Jimmy G and these young receivers beat us. I mean, there were a few times Tampa had 11 guys within 6 yards of the ball.
Wow, and that makes it tough. Yeah, I mean,
that's sledding uphill.
And I want to talk about both of those areas, the rushers and the receivers. First, the rushers. Coleman is going to be out for a little while. You know, he could be a factor later on in the season because of his size and his experience and everything. But I actually think, despite the fact that they didn't run the ball that well, I think they're in a good spot with the running backs. I really like Breida. I think he's quick. Mostert, too. I thought last year he was pretty good until he got hurt. So I think they are going to be able to run the ball. What do you think?
I totally think they can. They're just, that's just a hard, just what Tampa was doing. I thought that the 49ers actually should have thrown the ball a little bit more, especially, even in the beginning of the game. When they went 4-minute offense, they were throwing the ball because they had they had eight guys in the box. But I definitely think they can run the ball. I think I agree with you. Breed is good. Mostert played well last year, and he ran hard. He ran hard on Sunday. Had a couple nice runs there toward the end. Again, they spread it out a little bit, made Tampa, only have seven guys in the box, and makes it a little bit easier to run the ball because they had thrown the ball a couple times right away in 4-minute offense. It opened it up a little bit, and then they were able to run the ball. Mostert had a 10 or 12-yard run there. I think they're fine. I think it is unfortunate they lose Tevin because of his experience. But I think they'll be fine.
And on the receiving side, it's Kittle and then really nobody else right now that he can trust. I mean, yeah, there's some guys who are going to make plays here and there so far. Like, I mean, Richie James Jr., that was a nice play. No, beautiful
that was,
pass.
That was the best ball he threw all day.
Yeah.
He stepped up into it. You know, it didn't get stuck at the top of his drop, which we talked a lot about last year. I know, but Jimmy does it also. Yeah, I think right now it's receiver by committee. I mean, you know, James Jr., a couple nice balls, Goodwin, you know, had a couple good catches. Samuels, I mean, had the first catch, the slant, you know, makes the first down. Actually, that was one of those first downs coming out.
Yeah.
That I was referring to earlier, now that I mention it. Kendrick, I mean, I think they're all going to play. Pettis, to me, is, as far as a receiver of the ball, is the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he knows how to track a ball. I mean, he's an outfielder. He knows how to track a ball. You know how to track a ball.
Like his dad.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a Gold Glove outfielder. Yeah, Gary Pettis. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I think overall they're better than they were last year because Kendrick played a lot, got better. Goodwin played a lot, got better. Pettis got better toward the end of the year after he had his injuries. Not that he wasn't good in the beginning. He was very good in the Minnesota game. But he, you know, kind of got derailed there for a little bit. You add Samuels, even with Taylor banged up for a little bit and somebody else that's banged up that didn't play.
Yeah, Trent Taylor's going to be out for a little while.
Trent Taylor's going to be out for a little while, but there's somebody else with him, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there is. I'm blanking on who it is right now.
I'm going to blank. But even with those two guys out, the group is far and away better than they were a year ago.
They are. Well, I mean, I think somebody probably has to step up, though. One or two guys probably have to step up to be more dependable,
No question. And Jimmy has to, you know, he has to get that rapport with them. His favorite is Kittle. I mean, that's, if I was in there, my favorite would be Kittle. Because, you know, he's going to get in. He's going to get open, and he's going to catch the ball.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's going to get a lot of yards after the catch, too. And, yeah, he's going to catch the ball. He's generally not going to drop it. The guy is amazing, but how much are you going to put on him? And as a quarterback, yeah. I mean, yeah, you want to have your favorite, but if you're always looking to Kittle, then the other team is going to key on that. The defense will know that. I mean, it's going to be tougher and tougher if it's just going to be about Kittle, isn't it?
Yeah, no question. No question. It's going to be tough. But I think as one or two receivers start to emerge as the, you know, as go-to guys, I think they're going to emerge at the same time that Jimmy G becomes more comfortable with his knee and moving around in the pocket a little better, you know, stepping up into throws. Hopefully those two pieces, you know, come together. I'm gonna say mid-season. I don't know when it is, but you know, it's gonna take Jimmy G at least 3, 4, 5 games to maybe six games to become really comfortable with that with his knee.
And that's interesting. And by the way, it was Jalen Hurd, I think we were both thinking of. He was a third-round pick.
Oh, yeah, Hurd. Jalen Hurd. Yeah.
Another young guy. Yeah. But it is interesting what you're talking about, how, you know, the step into his throws. What do you think? Is it because of the knee injury? Or what did you see last year or even 2 years ago that made you think that, you know, he needs to improve in that area?
He's a back-foot thrower to begin with.
Okay.
He has such a strong arm and relies on his, you know, his arm strength and his upper half, I'll call it, to get that ball out so quick. You know, it's more his shoulders and his arm making the throw than his legs and his hips. So he has a tendency, in my opinion, to be a back foot thrower. But my hope is that as he becomes more comfortable with his knee and more comfortable being in the pocket. I mean, he still only played,
I think it's 11 15, starts. Yeah.
15, okay. 11. I was going to say 15. So as you know, as those starts come and he just becomes more comfortable in the pocket, my hope is that he gets up in the pocket a little bit more. And we talked, you know, like I said, we talked about that a lot last year with Beathard and with Mullins. You know, they get stuck, in my opinion, at the top of the drop.
Yeah, it's something to look for. I mean, I guess if he starts to step into his throws more, and like you said, using his hips, it's going to be what? More velocity, better accuracy, all of it?
Well, it's number one, it's more accurate. And you saw that in the ball to James Jr.
Yeah, that was perfect.
I mean, he held the defense, knowing where he was going to go. He got man-to-man like he wanted, and, you know, he hitched a couple times, and plus he got protection. That's all part of it. And he floats a nice ball, you know, up and over the defender right into, a receiver running full speed right into both hands. So those are the kinds of balls that I think will become more accurate as he starts to climb and climb in the pocket. The ball that he missed to Kendrick, you know, those types of throws, they're not far off. They're maybe 2 feet. There was a ball to his right side. I think it was in the third quarter.
That might have been the Goodwin one I was thinking of.
I think that was the Goodwin one. He kind of gets him. He gets him out in space, and Goodwin jumps with one hand to try and tip it, but it's just too high. Those are the kinds of throws that I think will become more accurate as he gets his feet up underneath him.
All right,
underneath himself.
All right, to finish up the 49ers' next game, also on the road, back-to-back road games in the Eastern time zone in Cincinnati. So the 49ers are going to practice in Youngstown, Ohio. They're going to stay east. And yep. I'll tell you what, the Bengals coming into the season, it might look like, oh, yeah, that's going to be an easy team to beat. But they held their own against the Seahawks. They only lost by one. And this receiver, John Ross, had 7 catches, 158 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Andy Dalton had a pretty big day. So now it looks like the defense will have its hands full with the Bengals, where a lot of people didn't think so, at the beginning, thinking, oh, no A.J. Green. But they do have another receiver there, and they're going to be sort of a tough team when you're on the road like this. Hopefully being in Youngstown helps the Niners. What do you think?
Well, you know, I hope so. You hope that they get well-rested, they get adjusted to the time zone. Because playing that 12 o'clock Central Time game is the hardest one, in my opinion. So they will be adjusted, so that should not be a factor. And I thought going into the season that our defense would be good for the simple fact that there's a lot of young guys that got a lot of experience last year that they didn't have. So that one makes them better. Then you add D-Ford. You had Bosa, you get Solly going again. Eric looked like he played better than he had all year last year. So I think the defense is pretty good, and I think they will be good. So, point being that they're going to help the offense come along. Good defenses will win on the road, and I mean – they continue to make plays like they made this past Sunday. they'll win again in Cincinnati on next Sunday.
That would be nice to come home to play Pittsburgh with a couple
of
wins.
That would be spectacular.
That would be. And by the way, I can't let you go without asking you about Antonio Brown, the big story, one story in the NFL. I mean, it's just crazy what happened there. And it does look like he orchestrated it, him and his agent, get to New England, right? I mean, what was your whole take on it?
Yeah, I mean, and now they're, now I've read a couple things where, some guys are saying, well, he wanted to go to New England from the beginning, but Pittsburgh wouldn't send him there. Well, I get that. I mean, I feel bad for, although I thought the Raiders played well last night, just to have to put up with that nonsense. It was probably hard enough doing Hard Knocks without that distraction. That's a difficult one. Now he's going to go to New England. He's going to have to be a saint. He will be, because if he mouths off once, he's gone. It's that simple. I mean,
can you imagine him not mouthing off at this point?
That's when you have a process and you have a plan and you under Belichick, this is the way we do things. If you don't conform, you're out. We don't need you. So yes, he'll conform, because that's the one place that he would have to. And it's like the 49ers, when I came here, you come here, they're the best team in the league. You do what's asked of you, and you do it the way that they do it. Otherwise, you're out of here. We don't need you.
By the way, did you hear what your former teammate Jerry Rice said? He said he was Denzel Washington and he won the Oscar. Did you hear about that?
Oscar. Yeah, I did read that. So he Jerry said he played me. He played a lot of people. I mean, come on, the whole cryotherapy and burning your feet and not practicing and the
helmet.
The helmet. I mean, I kind of get the helmet thing, but hey, everybody else had to do it. Brady, Brady's probably been wearing the same helmet for 19 years. Had to change. So he has figured out. Shut your mouth and play.
That's the best way to put it, Steve. Yeah. But that's what happens when you're the best receiver in the NFL. Then you're going to find a team right away, and that's what happened. So,
yeah, but the greatest one of all time didn't really ever say a word.
He
worked harder than everybody else, and he played better than everybody else. Period.
And that's one of the reasons why he was the best of all time.
That's why he's the greatest of all time.
Exactly. All right, Steve. Well, look forward to talking to you after that Cincinnati game next week. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Joe.